I'd like to introduce our next speaker. Beyond honored to introduce this final speaker. So as we've seen over the last 9 months, the great minds of our society have been consistently targeted, not just by the government, but also by the Zionist lobby. Randa Abdel Fattah is one of those people that has consistently been targeted and villainized in the media and within the Zionist lobby. So please give a very warm welcome to Randa Abdel Fattah, who is a future fellow in the Department of Sociology at Macquarie University. She's also a lawyer, although she no longer practices, and the multi-award-winning author of 12 books published in over 20 countries. Please welcome Randa Abdel Fattah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I would like to start by paying my sincere, genuine respects to the sovereign owners of this land, Gadigal land. This was and always will be unceded sovereign Aboriginal land. The barometer, the test of where we are as a movement, our grasp of what we are up against, what this moment calls for and demands of us in relation to this rotten Labor government, can be measured very simply by your response to Netanyahu receiving thunderous applause and a standing ovation by elected representatives of both political parties in the US Congress 2 days ago. There were those who were shocked, who saw this as hypocrisy, a betrayal of democracy. And there were those who, whilst disgusted and appalled, encountered this as perhaps the most clarifying projection of Western democracy. A crystal clear reminder that Western democracy, Democrat or Republican, Labour or Liberal, depends on, is sustained by genocide, by final solutions, by colonialism, brutal violence, police lynchings, incarceration. And our movement must be centred around some plain truths. This is not Israel versus Palestine, a binary that is used to claim that it's got nothing to do with us. This is not Jews versus Palestinians, Jews versus Muslims, a binary that the Zionist and pro-Israel lobby insist upon because it serves the message of purpose of messaging anti-Zionism as anti-Semitism. That standing ovation, that giddy, demonic applause that echoed fascist rallies of the early 20th century was a celebration and confirmation that this is global Israel versus global Palestine. If Dutton or Albanese, Birmingham or Wong were in the US at the time, you better believe they would have been clapping along. But I will give them one thing. They, the Labour Party, will insist that they would have offered a slower clap, less vigorous applause. And that, my friends, is their monstrous legacy. That they insist that slow clapping genocide is any less depraved or forgivable. The fact of the matter is that both Labour and Liberal, federal and state, have all given the Israeli Zionist state a standing ovation every single day since Australia was the first country to vote in favour of the 47 US UN partition resolution. And the first to formally recognise this squatter state of Israel under Labour Prime Minister Ben Chifley. So there is absolutely no doubt that Australia, Labour and Liberal, are a wholly committed and loyal member of global Israel. And what is global Israel? It's about maintaining Western colonialism. And so this is Netanyahu's genocide just as much as it is Joe Biden's, as much as it is Kamala Harris, as much as it is Albanese, Wong, Minns, and every single Labour MP's genocide, including those in the party who think their melatonin and second language will save them from accountability. You want to play the diversity game. How did your diversity help 7-year-old Sidra Hassoun, who we all saw dangling from a wall, her body sliced in half? How did Wong's obsequious, mealy-mouthed words that Israel has a right to self-defense, but the manner in which it does so matters, How did those words help 12-year-old Mae Zuna, who we all saw on our screen, her jaw blown off, doctors struggling to hold her face and tongue together? Do you expect us to believe your Hamas this, your Hamas that, and pretend that Israel, which boasts precision military weapons, missed Hamas over 186,000 times? There has been no shortage of Labour standing ovations for genocide. It was standing ovation when Chris Minns lit up Sydney Opera House, but the slaughter of over 186,000 Palestinians and continuing has not elicited one word of condemnation. It is a standing ovation when the Minns Labour government has institutionalized systematic suppression and disciplining of children and teachers in schools for speaking against genocide. Under Labour, the Department of Education has created a rampant culture of anti-Palestinian racism, Islamophobia, and targeted censorship. Under federal Labour, we have universities as sites of McCarthyism and repression. Meanwhile, Labour has aided and abetted a genocide that is called scholasticide, murdering students, teachers and professors, destroying schools. Not one university is standing. Here are the words sent to me on Messenger yesterday from a friend in Gaza who used to be a professor. I live in a tent now with my 5 young kids. I'm internally collapsed, but trying not to show it to my family. I'm leading an educational project. I'm supervising another 5 teachers. I am trying, but I am exhausted. I found blood in my urine yesterday. I hide everything from my family. There's no medicine, no hygiene. Israel is practicing many hidden wars. We are not superhuman, Yaranda. I am human. Labour is not the alternative to fascism and genocide. It was a standing ovation when the International Court of Justice, the highest court in the world, ruled that Israel is committing a plausible genocide and our government continued to flagrantly defy its duty to prevent genocide. It refuses to stop enabling and arming the genocide. Labour is not the alternative to fascism and genocide. The International Court of Justice has just delivered sweeping findings against Israel. It was a standing ovation to the genocide when Penny Wong's response to this monumental ruling was not a comprehensive arms embargo, sanctions or divestment, but sanctions against 7 settlers and hilltop youth. Does Labour expect a pat on the back for yesterday's joint letter, another statement which proves Labour speaks in one direction and walks in another? The fact is that Labour insists that slaughter, defiance of international law, and the continued enabling of a rogue, belligerent terrorist state is an existential necessity for its government's survival. And then it has the audacity to tell us it is the better option. You will be dehumanized as a Palestinian. You will be destroyed and killed under Labour or Liberal, but under Labour we will use different methods. And still, there are people who say, better the devil you know. It will be worse under Liberal or Republicans. Do you really want a Dutton government in the US? Do you really prefer Trump? I have a couple of things to say about this. First, Labour and Liberal, Democrat or Republican, they are openly telling you what they stand for. Believe them when they tell you, when they are showing you. You have to credit them. They are not pretending or lying about their position. You are either all in against genocide or you're not. There is no in between. If you oppose genocide in the Labour Party, you will be thrown under the bus. And you think we're exaggerating, Exhibit 1, Senator Fatima Payman. 2, there are those who claim it'll be worse for us under a Dutton government. Islamophobia, racism, fascism will increase. Support for Israel will be unconditional. Would Dutton even bother with an Islamophobia envoy? Would even seven settlers be sanctioned? What could be more Islamophobic and racist than arming the slaughter of Palestinian children? Labour wants to be congratulated for an Islamophobia envoy who will count how many hijabs have been pulled off women here, whilst Labour enables the bombing and starving of our hijabi sisters in Gaza. Does Labour think we are such stupid fools that we cannot make the connection between state-sanctioned genocide in the name of Islamophobia and white supremacy and domestic state-sanctioned Islamophobia and white supremacy? Earlier this year, Francesca Albanese issued a report on the de-civilianization of Palestinians, whereby Israel has designated the entire population of Gaza as a killable target. It has tried to make Gaza a world without civilians, to take sheltering in a refugee camp, in a hospital, in a school, as human shielding, making everyone, therefore, a justified target. And our Labour government, in supporting Israel, has unequivocally embraced the logic that everyone in Gaza, woman, man, child, disabled, Down syndrome, pregnant, old, amputee, is a killable target. So spare us the Islamophobia envoy charade. You don't need a PhD to understand that killing us in our homelands is a license to kill, hate and vilify us here. Labour or Liberal, they are both drenched in our blood. Labour has clear choices to make and indeed knows when to make them. Penny Wong knows how to condemn the bombing of a UN school, but only when the victims are white. Labour knows how to impose sanctions and arms embargoes. It knows how to cut trade relationships and hold brute force to account, but only when the victims are white. They are showing you that the racist logic that underwrites their policies is white supremacy. The difference between Labour and Liberal is that Labour packages their white supremacy in colourful wrapping paper. And this goes for Kamala Harris too. It is the job of white supremacy, capitalism and imperialism to convince the masses to internalise their own inferiority and defeat. Believe the lie that you have no power, that you are only worthy of the lesser of two evils. The lesser of two evils is still evil. We must collectively refuse to accept that we have no power, worth or dignity. Finally, it has been Indigenous First Nations peoples, Black, Brown people of colour, the Global South, who have paid the price for the grand abstractions claimed by Western progressives who boast about living in a liberal multicultural democracy. The blood of First Nations peoples runs through the veins of this multicultural democracy. This is blood-soaked land. Under Labour, progressives are complacent. They love their acknowledgements of country, their ethnic food, their white feminism and their interracial relationships. Under Liberals, sure, there are no diversity and inclusion committees, but under Labour, white people lead them. The victims of genocide, those who oppose genocide, we do not bear the onus of saving this sham democracy from itself. If the Liberals win, it is firmly Labour and those fake progressives' responsibility. And by the way, it is time progressives understand, white Liberals understand, that nobody is safe from the imperial boomerang. Gaza is the laboratory, and the tactics and methods are going to come back here against all who stand in the way of the imperial project that Australia is invested in. Palestinians Palestinians are paying the price now as we speak. First Nations peoples have always paid the price. Refugees locked up have paid the price. It is about time. It is about time those who think their whiteness or their apathy will shield them from the normalization of fascism we are witnessing across every sphere of society wake up. If a moral conscience could not wake you in a time of genocide, then maybe a Dutton government will. Is it going to get worse for us as racialized, marginalized people? Yes. Will sacrifices be made? Yes. But do you think global systems of oppression are going to be overcome with a change.org petition? Do you think the ultimate sacrifices have not been made? Is 186,000 slaughtered not enough? We survived Morrison, we survived Abbott, we survived Turnbull. We survived Bush, Obama and Trump. And if it means suffering for another 4 years to move the needle of liberation, we may just have to pay the price. We will survive the alternative. And us being here is a loud message to both Labour and Liberal that we believe another world is possible and we deserve it. Hold on to each other. Hold on to each other. Care for each other. Keep building this movement from the ground up. Refuse to accept anything less than your intrinsic dignity. Refuse to coexist with oppression and mute your life to genocide. Brace yourselves for what is to come and never forget the words in the UN resolution declaration on the granting of independence for colonial countries and peoples in 1960. The process of national liberation is irresistible and irreversible. We are just getting started. There is no turning back.